Happy Father's Day to all of you godly fathers, all of you fathers. I want to say Happy Father's Day to those of you who are online watching. If you are a father, I thank you for watching today. If you're not a father, I thank you for watching. And I just want to encourage you, if you are my friend on Facebook, would you right now, I give you permission to go on Facebook and share this service. It is live and it's on my Facebook. And if you know how to share it, just hit share, because that means more people will have the opportunity to hear the message today. It's not because I'm speaking. It's because it's God's word. And we want to challenge people to know God and to know Him intimately. Amen. I also want to say a welcome to one of my dear, dear friends, a precious sister, Carol. She's from Orlando, and I'm so thankful she was able to come and spend the night with me last night, and we're going to have lunch together today. She is an Assemblies of God ordained minister as well, and I love having iron sharpening iron friends. Amen? So welcome, Carol. Thank you for coming and supporting me today. All right, let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I step back, and I ask you, Holy Spirit, to step in and take over, Father God. May I decrease and you increase. God, speak through me today in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, I believe God has a word for us today. And just because it's Father's Day, and yes, I am going to preach a Father's Day message, I want you ladies and you young people to understand, you can apply everything that I talk about today. You can apply it to your own life. So don't check out on me thinking, oh, it's my day to sleep this morning. Please pay attention. Young men, take notes. You need to hear this message today, because someday you probably will be a father. Older men, take notes, because you already are. Most of you are fathers. Take notes. Because God wants to help you to be the best father possible. So, as I was praying about this message, I was like, God, what would you have me talk about today for fathers? And the Lord gave me an idea to go on my Facebook page and to ask a couple of questions and see if people were willing to answer these questions for me. And I told them I will not use names. I would never want to embarrass anyone, not on purpose by any means. And and some of them, I told them, you can message me privately, whatever you want to do. So I want to share what those questions were and a few of the comments. I'm not going to share them all because around 50 people responded. So we're not going to take all day to share those. But let me share a few things. Question number one, what do or did you love most about your father? Question number two, what do you wish your father would have known about being a good father? Question number one, here are some of the answers that I received. My dad accepted everyone as they were, and everyone wanted to be a better person just by being around him. Oh, by the way, the title of my message is A Definition of a Good Father. A Definition of a Good Father. Another comment, my dad was the same, always kind, helpful, and giving advice to others. My mom didn't get a formal education. My dad taught her how to write. I couldn't have asked for a better father. My dad not only provided for his family, but for many others. He may not have had money to give, but he gave in other ways. The one thing I wish he would know is that he worked too much, but he was my hero. I miss him just as much today as I did the day he passed 31 years ago. Another one. My dad taught by example. He was very affectionate, hardworking, and always believed in us. No changes. I wouldn't want any changes. Wish he hadn't died so young. As the Bible says, his yes meant yes. His no meant no. Another comment, I love that he taught me how to play sports. He taught me how to be myself, and he taught me the word of God. Another one, my dad was never around. Oh, I'm sorry, I don't want to say that yet. That's a second question. You know what? I could just say, let's pray and go home. And that's how to be a good father from those comments of what a wonderful father. And let me say before we go any further, because some of the things I'm going to share in just a moment could be hard for some of us to hear. Because maybe as you hear it, you're thinking, wow, I could have written that. Or maybe as you hear it, you may be thinking, wow, I think I was that kind of father. I think I'm that kind of father. But this is not to condemn anyone. This is to encourage you to become the amazing father God wants you to be. So now I want to share some of the thoughts that were given about what people wish that their fathers knew to make them a better father. I wish my dad understood that when you berate and devalue females, you do the same thing to your daughter. And you forever change her self-value in a way that only God can fix. When a dad treats females poorly, he devalues them and treats them as though they are sexual objects created for pleasure. It forever changes how she feels about men, her future husband, and her relationship with her heavenly father, because her dad is supposed to be an example, an earthly example of what her heavenly father is to be like. Also, that as long as he still has breath to breathe, it is never too late to do the right thing. And I forgive him. Another comment. I wish my dad would realize that I am an individual. And that he would actually listen to me. I wish my dad would have loved my mom more. I wish my dad would have understood that not every child is the same. I wish he would be a little more understanding. One person wrote, "Fatherhood is a lifelong responsibility that cannot be taken lightly. It is so much more than you and the young woman that you think you love or want to be with. The child you may be creating deserves two dedicated parents. One being a dad that will love, cherish, and adore and be a role model for his children. Hopefully these parents will raise this child to know and love the Lord." This was written by someone who never met their birth father. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2? I know this is pretty heavy this morning, but I believe it's what God wants me to bring to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm going to be reading from the NIV version. This is Paul's second missionary journey, and I believe Timothy and Silas were with him. And as we begin in verse 9, it says, "Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order to not be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory." So men, if you want to know the definition, in my opinion, of a good father is number one, if you're taking notes, an encourager. A good father is an encourager. Now, can I tell you, I am one of those that I was so blessed and am so blessed to have a wonderful father. If you were not blessed with a wonderful father, my heart really does feel sadness for you. But I can tell you of a father who loves you and adores you just as you are, and that is Father God. So please don't sit here today feeling rejected and feeling like, but I didn't have a good dad, because you do have a heavenly father that loves you so much and adores you. I'm so grateful for my father who to this day calls me his little lamb, and I call him my shepherd. In fact, When I called him this morning, he obviously had already left for church because nobody answered the phone, and I called his cell and he didn't answer. So I left him a voicemail, and I always say, "Hey, my shepherd, this is your little lamb. Just calling to tell you Happy Father's Day." So Daddy, if you happen to watch this, Happy Father's Day. I love you so much. Thank you for being a godly dad. I'm so grateful. My dad was one of my biggest cheerleaders in my life. You know, I've told y'all before, I thought having red hair and freckles was a curse from God. But my dad told me, "Honey, when you grow up, men love red hair. These children, they don't know how to appreciate what you have, but you watch. Men love red hair, and you will be loved and accepted when you're grown for your red hair." I thank God for my dad encouraging me. My dad would encourage me, "Come on, baby girl, you can hit that ball." I love to play softball. My dad taught me how to play softball. And I have to say, for a little girl, I was pretty good. Not that good, but my dad made me think I was. I did win the game ball when Pastor Tim and I were youth pastors in our first church, and we had a ladies softball team, and I won the game ball one time. I don't even remember why, but I was so happy. I was like, "Woohoo!" I couldn't run fast, but I could hit. By the way, my dad, just for a lighter note, my dad was double A before you go into the major leagues of baseball? Is it the minors or whatever? Had talked to my dad, triple A, thank you, David, had talked to him about signing him up. He was going to be a professional baseball pitcher, but God called him to preach, to be a pastor, and he gave up that opportunity to be the pastor that God called him to be. My dad did not have a lot of money, but he had a lot of love and a lot of encouraging words. I remember doing the dishes, and Dad would come up behind me. "Come here, Samantha." I'd be doing the dishes and stand here like you're doing dishes. No. And my shoulders would be slumped. My dad would come up behind, and he would straighten those shoulders. He'd say, "Stand straight, baby girl, stand straight. Thank you, Samantha." He was always encouraging me to be a young lady, to be a young woman of God. And I'm so grateful for that. So men and ladies, if you want to be a good woman of God, a good wife, girls, young men, you want to be who God wants you to be. Become an encourager. Not only are we to be an encourager, number two, we are to be a comforter, men. You are to be a comforter as a father. And I know for some of you, you're going to be like, "But my dad wasn't like that. I never saw a man comforting his children." Well, y'all know me. Here it comes. I have a piece of advice for you. Get over yourself. You are not your father. You are your children's father. And your children need to be comforted. When you're hurting, they need you to wrap your loving arms around them. They need you to tell them that you love them. You know, some of the comments that I received that I did not read, several comments is, "I just wish my dad could have expressed his love to me. I wish my dad would have told me how much he loved me." Men, if that's hard for you, ask God to help you to be able to tell your daughters, to be able to tell your sons, tell your wife, "I love you." If you've never done that, it's time to step out of that uncomfortable, get out of that boat of comfort and step out and say, "I love you." I'm so grateful that my daddy, every time I talk to him, he'll say, "I love you, my little lamb," or "I love you, Jan." That means so much to me. It means a lot to your children. Maybe you weren't blessed with a father that told you how much he loved you. Maybe you knew he loved you, but he never expressed it. Maybe you didn't even know if he did love you. Don't let that hold you back. You see, what happens is so many times when we're children and our parents say and do things that we say, when I grow up, I will never say that to my child. I'll never do that to my children. But can I tell you today, unless you allow God to touch you and change you, you are a product of your parents and you will say and do the things they said and did to you. But God, you don't have to be like your parents if they were not godly, if they did not express love to you. You don't have to be unloving or not show love. You can choose because you've received the love of the Father. And if you haven't received that love, I hope today you will choose to receive the love of God our Father who loves you so much. So much that He was willing to do the hard thing, the hardest thing any father has ever done. He allowed His Son Jesus to come to earth, be born as a human, knowing that He was going to allow His Son to grow up and to die the most cruelest death that you could ever experience. Now, a good father comforts, but a good father also allows us to walk through hard times. God allowed Jesus. I know it had to break His heart to watch His Son being so brutally murdered. But He allowed Him to do it because of the love of everyone who's committed their lives to Him. For the love of His children. So you see, sometimes fathers and mothers have to allow us to go through hard times. And can I just get on the moms for a minute? Moms, if you have sons, do not baby your sons. Allow them to grow up to be men. Now, that does not mean you don't love them. That does not mean you don't hug them and tell them how proud you are. You do those things, but stop rescuing your sons. You are not teaching them to grow up to be godly young men when if they get in trouble, you're like, oh, baby, mama's here, honey, you poor pitiful thing. How dare that teacher say that to you? I'll give that teacher a piece of my mind. Can I tell you? You better get over yourself, mama. You better let your child learn to take responsibility for their actions. You love them. And you love them through their actions. You don't tell them, you good for nothing son of mine. That's wrong too. Why am I know this is a Father's Day sermon, but I just, I had to go there. Don't mess up your sons, mamas. I'm going to just be honest with you. I think that's probably why God did not give me sons. Because I would have babied them so much and I would have protected them from every little boo-boo. I'm truthful. When my girls were like 4 and 2 years old, we had to leave them to go to, we were youth pastors, and we had to leave them with this family. And the mom had 4 boys. She'd never kept girls before. She kept my girls. And when we would talk on the phone to make sure everything's okay. And she said, one thing about your girls drives me crazy. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. What are my girls doing? She said, well, I have to preface it by saying, I only have boys. And I said, okay. She said, every 5 minutes they come to me and say, Miss Margie, my hands are dirty. Does that tell you why God did not give me a boy? Because, he would have just been like, oh, I'm dirty. I can't be dirty. God knew it and he knew sissy boy. So I'm grateful He did not give me a boy. But anyway, let's be encouragers. Let's be comforters. Amen? Number 3, let's be motivators. Let's motivate our children, men. And a good father will motivate their children in a godly, positive way. Not motivate them by fear and anger. Son, you will do what I said. No. A godly father will motivate through love. Come on, son. I believe in you. You can do it. Now, that doesn't mean, fathers, that you don't discipline your sons. You do discipline your sons, but you discipline them in love. Don't discipline them if your father was a harsh taskmaster. Don't be that. Ask God to help you let that go and be a loving father. A loving grandfather. Encouraging. Come on, son, I believe in you. You can do it. You can do it. You are such an awesome son. Speak life into your children. When I look at you, baby girl, do you know what I see? You are a daughter of the one true God. You are a princess, and I adore you, baby girl. You know God has such great things for you. Adonijah, come here, buddy. Do you know God has such great things for you? He does, and you are going to be a mighty man of God. I speak that over your life, and I love you, and I'm so pleased with your heart for Jesus at such a young age. How old are you?
4.
Ooh, he just turned 4 years old. Happy birthday, Adonijah. Thank you, buddy. I love that he loves Jesus, and he does. That little boy is being taught at a young age to know Jesus, to love Jesus. Hallelujah. So we need to be motivators, dad, mom, grandparents. We need to motivate with love. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, and we could add mothers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Okay, now that's not Pastor Jan saying that. That's the Word of God. Do not, y'all are so quiet this morning. Do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. I'm surprised the teenagers aren't clapping and saying, come on somebody right there. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. So don't discipline out of anger and discipline with love. Number 4. Fathers, you are to be the leader of your home. You're to be a good leader. You are to lead by example. A good father doesn't send his children to church. A good father takes his children to church. A good father treats his wife with love and respect. A good father will lead his children in everything that he does. Because the truth is, children don't do what you tell them. They do what they see you do. So if you are telling your children, when you get upset, you need to hold your temper and don't be cursing, that does not please God. That's right. But let me tell you, if they hear you on the telephone and they hear that you are upset with somebody and you are just going off on that person and you blankety blank, how dare you, da da da. Do you think that they are just going to be calm and not curse when they get upset? No. They're going to tell you like it is. It's caught, not taught. Behavior is caught, not taught. Yes, we do teach our children, but they learn the most by how we live our lives. You know, I haven't said yet, but I want to say Happy Father's Day to the father of my children. I'm so grateful that God chose to bless me with a mighty man of God, that he lives what you see in the pulpit on Sundays. He's that same man in my home. He is a godly man at home. He doesn't yell at me. Oh, I know he gets frustrated with me at times. I know that shocks y'all, being the perfect woman that I am not. But he does not raise his voice to me. He can give me the Tim look. Oh, but he doesn't raise his voice to me. You know, I was just telling Carol last night, when Pastor Tim and I were dating and we broke up and we went back to visit his family, and we weren't even dating, but he took me home with him for Thanksgiving. And some of y'all, you know this story very well, but bear with me. He said, who broke up? I broke up with him. Okay. Yes, I did. I broke up with him. He took me home with him to Cincinnati, Ohio, in spite of the fact that I broke up with him because we were still best friends. I was a stupid one who broke up with him, but it was for a good reason at the moment, I thought, anyway. But anyway, he protected me even then. His parents were going, what is wrong with you? Why did you break up with her? His brothers were saying, why did you break up with her? His grandparents are going, what is the deal? He never told them, I'm not the breaker-upper. It's her. She's the idiot, not me. He never did that. He always protected me and said, well, it's just, you know, where we're at right now, and but we're close friends. He always was my protector. Thank you, baby. I love you. So, men, you need to be protectors. That wasn't in my note, but you need to be protectors. You need to protect your wife. You need to protect your children. You need to protect them and stand up for them. Oh, my goodness. I had not planned to say this, but I feel the Holy Spirit saying I need to say this. Men, cut the apron strings from your mama. I am shocked. Well, I am shocked at how many men, and I mean grown married men with children and some with grandchildren, that have not learned to cut the apron string from their mama. They're more concerned about what mama thinks than what their wife thinks. The Word of God says to leave and cleave. So men, I'm not saying disrespect your mama. Of course, you love and respect your mom. But when it comes to a decision, you don't run to mama, or you should not run to mama and say, mama, what do you think I ought to do with this? No, you are not married to your mama. You're married to your wife. Love and respect her. Ask her opinion. But women, you better be the woman of God that's going to show respect back to your husband and not look at him like he's less than, not look at him like he's an idiot. You need to show honor and respect to that man God gave you. Because I've told you before, if you don't take care of him, there's a bunch of women out there waiting to get their hands on him. Come on, somebody. That's truth. That is truth. That was for free, y'all. So not only is he to be the leader of the home, number five, he is to be the prayer warrior of his home. I want to know, where are the praying men in this church? Praying men of God, would you stand to your feet? If you are a praying man of God, would you stand to your feet? I don't care if you're a father or not, but you pray, you seek God, would you stand to your feet? Thank you. Thank you. Sit back down. Sit back down. If you did not stand because you just tired, that's all right. But if you did not stand because you're like, I don't even know how to pray, I want to challenge you today. Learn how to pray. It's not hard. If you can talk to me, you can talk to God. You don't have to come up with these, oh, hallelujah, holy, worthy God. No. I mean, if that's how you pray, that's fine. But you can just talk to God. Father, thank you that you're my Father. God, I love you, and I just ask you to protect my family. Hallelujah. And women, I have a word for you. Some of you think your men don't pray because they don't pray like you. Women, we're emotional. We are the ones that's like, dear Lord Jesus, I need you to move heaven and earth. That's how I pray when I got a situation. But most men don't pray like that. Most men just tell God like it is. God, we got a situation and I need you to work in our behalf. God, we got to have rent money by this Friday. And Lord, your word says to test you, I bring my tithes to the house of the Lord. And your word says to test you, and I trust you, you are going to work a miracle on my behalf. That's how men pray. And they may pray quietly. They may pray when they're driving to church. Don't you women be saying, well, it's your fault. I never see you praying. You don't know what they're praying. You don't know when they're praying. Don't be judging all up in here on your men. They may be a mighty, more of a mighty prayer warrior than you ever dreamed of being. But because they don't pray like you, you think, because they're not shouting and yelling at God, God, you gotta move in my circumstance. That's not how most men pray. I know there are a few that do. But a lot of men, they're just practical and they don't get into all the emotional and they just pray. And that's good, men, because that's how God made you. But be a prayer warrior. Pray for your family. Be the covering over your family. Cover them through prayer. And can I just say, let your children see you sometimes having your devotions. Let them see you studying the Word of God. Let them see you praying. You know, just recently when we were home visiting my mom and dad, I knocked on my dad's office and he didn't hear me because, you know, he is getting older and his hearing is not what it used to be. And I did something I don't normally do because my parents taught me respect. You always knock on a door and don't enter until they answer. But I knew it was, I knew it was okay to open the door. And I opened the door and my precious daddy was down at his desk chair on his knees, and my dad has very bad knees and it is hard for him to get down on his knees, but he was down on his knees crying out to God. I'm so grateful for that heritage. Men, be men of prayer. Let your family see you praying. Lead your family in prayer. Before my husband left the house this morning, he prayed over us and over this church and this service. I'm so grateful that I have a praying father and a praying husband. Now, that's not to elevate them and make them look like they're the perfect men. They're not perfect. But they do love God. So let's be prayer warriors, men and women and young people of God. The next point is be a man of the Word, and I'm talking about the Word of God, but also be a man of your Word. I knew if my dad told me, baby girl, when you get out of school today, you and me, we're going to Dairy Queen and we're going to get that banana split you've been wanting. And I knew unless an emergency came up, my daddy was taking me to Dairy Queen. Do y'all even know what a Dairy Queen is? Okay, a couple of you, you're like, yeah. But I knew my dad was taking me for that banana split. And oh, was I looking forward to it? Because he was a man of his word. But not just be a man of your word, men. Be a man of the Word of God. Study to show yourself approved. Amen? Number 7. I have 5,000 points. Just say it. No, I'm kidding. Number 7. And this is actually my last point. Doesn't mean much, but it is. Men, you're to be teachers. You're to be a teacher in your home. Men, teach your family, teach your children how to handle money wisely. I'm amazed how many young adults have no clue how to handle their money. But I know why. They didn't learn it growing up. And the reason they didn't learn it growing up is their parents' parents probably never taught them. And their parents' parents' parents probably never taught them. But we need to, and if you're going, but I don't really know how to handle money. Okay, well that's why one of the reasons we have Right Now Media, the church pays for, so you can get online. By the way, if you don't know what that is, talk to Pastor myself or one of the elders. Rightnowmedia.org. Is that what it is? You can get on there and you can watch Dave Ramsey on how to budget and how to save money and how to handle your money wisely. Teach your children how to handle their money wisely. Teach your children how to grow up and be an independent young man or young woman. Teach your sons how to treat women with respect. Women are not a piece of meat to look at. Women are not play toys. They are God's beautiful creation. Teach your sons how to treat women with respect. And I've already mentioned it, but one of the greatest ways you can do that is by showing love and respect to your wife. And if she doesn't deserve it, do it anyway. Amen? I know that's hard, But as we are working on becoming, as you men are working on becoming the man of God God's called you to be, it'll make it easier for your woman to work on becoming the woman of God that she's meant to be. Teach your children to be hard workers. Carol and I were talking last night and saying, you know, in America, children, a lot of children are chunky. They're overweight. Why? Because not like when most of us were children, a lot of them don't get out and ride bicycles and play chase and do all these kind of things. They don't have to. A lot of children don't even know what chores are. On Saturday mornings, if I'd spent the night with my friends, my mom would be calling going, I'm coming to get you. Mom, not yet. Oh, no, you have chores to do. I've already told you I had a mean mom. Thank you, Jesus. Because I know how to keep my house clean because I had a mean mother that taught me and loved me and taught me how to be a good wife. But be careful that you teach your children. Teach them to love God, to live a consistent Christian life without becoming legalistic. We need to not be legalistic. We don't need to be. Maybe your parents were legalistic. Ask God to set you free from legalism. It's about the heart. It's about loving God. It's about serving God. Ask Him to help you if you have struggled with being legalistic. I want to share one last comment that I received on Facebook. This is great food for thought, men. As a teenager, I wish my dad had been more strict about what I wore and whom I dated. I wish my father had taken me on dates. I wish my father would have instilled in me the worth as a daughter of the one true King at an early age. I don't blame him for my poor decisions, but I can't help but wonder if those things had happened, if my choices would have been better. Wow. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're thinking, man, I blew it as a father. Or, man, I'm not a very good father. Maybe you're a woman and you're sitting there going, wow. She's talking about fathers, but wow, she's talking about me. I don't want you to feel condemned. I don't want you to feel like it's too late. It's never too late. It's never too late. Even now, even if your children are grown, it's not too late to call them. Meet them, take them on, take your daughters, your married, grown daughters, on a father-daughter date. And man up and tell them, I'm so sorry for the way I treated you or the way I treated your mother. I'm so sorry I was not the dad I should have been. Would you please forgive me? It's not too late. You know, my dad was a pretty wonderful dad, but he's told me as an adult, since I've been an adult, he's told me, Jan, if I could go back, there's things I would change about the way I raised you. But I can't go back. And I will tell you, as a mother, there's things, my girls are grown now, but there's things I would do differently. So don't beat yourself up. There is no perfect father except for Father God. There is no perfect mother. But we are to strive to be like our Heavenly Father. And the way we do that, remember, you become like who you spend time with. So if you spend time on a daily basis getting to know your Father who never walked out on you, who will never walk away from you, Father God, if you'll spend time with Him and you will love on Him, study His Word, and live it out you can become that amazing father. Some of you already are. I am so grateful for the men of God that we have in this church. I'm so grateful. We have some amazing, mighty prayer warriors. You know, I was getting ready to close, but I got to tell you this. The elders of our church came to Pastor, I don't know, a month or so ago, and they said, Pastor, we feel led that we need to once a month, have a prayer meeting, just us elders, and my husband is one of the elders, praying for the people of our church. Well, this is a good problem. Word kind of got out, and yesterday they had a prayer meeting in the prayer room over here, and I believe it was 5 people that are not elders showed up for prayer. But what I loved about it is our men of God sat there and listened, because the Bible says you need to confess your sins one to another. Then God will heal you. And it blessed my heart as these people, some of them just said, I'm here to confess my sins to you elders, and then I want you to pray for me. And y'all, you might think, oh my goodness, but can I tell you, it's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. The elders were not sitting there going, well, no, they were sitting there just, they shared their own stories and they were so encouraging. And then they prayed over each person. I was one of them. I confessed. Sometimes I have issue with pride. Sometimes I have issues with a critical spirit. And then I ask them to pray over me for God's healing in my body and for God to use me today. I'm so grateful that we do have a lot of godly men in this church. We're so blessed. And I have to share one more thing, and then I really am going to close. Yesterday, one of the men, one of our elders, shared this. He said, as I was sitting here, God had me write down some things. And he shared this, and I felt like the Lord told me to take a picture, and I asked him, and take a picture of his list. This is what has happened for real to this man. He's been attacked by the devil many times. He's been stabbed 6 times. He's had colon disease, lung disease, prostate cancer, hit by a car, fell and chipped a tooth, and 2 times cracked his helmet he was wearing when he was riding his bicycle. Some of you are going, I know who that is. I didn't ask his permission to share, so I can't say his name's John Smith, but I don't think he would mind, because he freely shared it yesterday. And if you mind, I'm so sorry. I apologize now, but I think he's okay with it. But anyway, I'm so grateful for men of God. And he shared that to say, no matter what you're going through, there is a God. I have had cancer. I have been through this. I've been stabbed 6 times. But God! But God! But God! So men and women of God, would you stand to your feet? You need to understand, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you're going through, there is a God, and He loves you! He loves you! He adores you! He wants to touch your heart! Some of you need forgiveness! Some of you need healing from past hurts! Some of you have never let go of the pain from the past of your childhood. I'm here to tell you today, if you will let go of it, you will give it to God, He will touch you. But you've got to release it to Him. You have to release it to Him. Oh, men and women, young people, God loves you. He's not looking at you saying, failure, failure. No, He's not. He's going, come on, my son. Come on, my daughter. I love you. I want to work in your life. I want to help you get over the hurt. Some of you young people, you're hurting today because you don't have a dad that has showed you the kind of love you deserve. But can I tell you, you have a Father in heaven. And you have some godly men in this church that love you.